Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Brother Robert Johnson. This is episode 163. It's a huge episode, not in length, but in accomplishment. We finally finished Masonic Radio Theater's first episode. So in the news, as I said, the Masonic Radio Theater is here. This week on the show, we're going to forego the usual, and instead I will be promoting the episode number one of Masonic Radio Theater. So please visit the website for more details, which is www.masonicradiotheater.com. Additionally, I want to mention that I launched a little side project as well. When I started this, there was really only one Masonic podcast, which was The Digital Freemason, which was awesome. Brother Scott Blaskin ran it, and I finally got in touch with him and found out that his episodes are still around on the net, and that was a sign that I needed to complete this one thing. So I launched the Masonic Podcast Network. On it, you will find links to this show, Masonic Radio Theater, the Masonic Roundtable, and seven or eight other fantastic Masonic podcasts. Some are old and haven't been updated in a long time, but their episodes are really still good, and some are new episodes. I have to mention that these other shows are merely linked, and they have no agreements with me or anything else. I just wanted to put the best shows in one place, so I tried. And you can visit the website www.masonicpodcastnetwork.com. And so you can kind of just scroll through and see all the different shows. If you click the link, it'll take you to their website. So it's kind of like an aggregate. You can go there and see what Masonic podcasts are, and I hope you guys find some really cool ones that you like in addition to this show. And now, it's been a lot of work. I present to you, in hi-fi, lo-fi audio format, the Masonic Radio Theater.
The Masonic Radio Theater is on the air. Welcome to Masonic Radio Theater, brought to you by the Midnight Freemasons. Tonight's episode is The Craftsman.
Morning, Sadie.
Morning, Saul.
Is there any mail?
Yeah, mostly bills. You have a client in your office. It's been a long time since you've had one of those. Hopefully he can actually pay. Ain't you tired of tracking down cheating wives for jealous husbands and then having to chase down the check? This one seems legit. Dressed very nice and talks real fancy.
Well, I better get in there then. I certainly don't want this fish to get away. Good morning, Mr.
Price. My name is Robert Price. Pleasure to meet you.
The pleasure is mine. Please, have a seat. Now tell me, what is it I can do for you?
Mr. King, I am a movie producer. At the moment, I am producing a new movie entitled The Brethren. It's a movie about the Freemasons. A mystery of sorts. It's the story about a Masonic murder that happened over a century ago. A man named William Morgan was allegedly murdered by the Freemasons for putting their secrets in book form. Production started out fine, moving right along, then all of the sudden, strange things started happening. It started out with small things, broken cameras, lights not working. Sadly, things have gotten worse. Friday, I got this letter in the mail. I fear things have progressed. Here is the letter I received.
That's interesting. Stop the production or bad things will happen. Signed, The Craftsman. They even drew a square and a compass next to their name. So I take it you think it's the Masons?
First of all, Mr. King, I should ask if you are a Mason. I don't want to hire a detective who is in association with the very people trying to destroy me.
You think I'm a Freemason? You think those kind of men are going to allow the likes of me to join their club? Besides that, I don't exactly have their kind of money. Now, rest assured, Mr. Price, I'm no Freemason. So tell me more about this William Morgan.
William Morgan was a man who lived upstate here in New York. He claimed to be a Freemason and was taken in by their fraternity up there. After a while, the Masons figured out that he was a fraud and disassociated themselves from him. Morgan then decided he would write a book and allow their ritual, secret rituals, to be made public. Around 1826, Morgan was kidnapped and allegedly murdered by the Freemasons. Morgan's disappearance caused a firestorm and nearly destroyed the Masons. It was several decades before their family recovered from this incident.
Well, I can see where the Masons would want to keep this movie under wraps. I'm sure they don't want to see their dirty laundry aired up on the silver screen for all to see. However, I do have one question. Why did you come to me and not the police?
Very simple, Mr. King. If I were to take this to the police, there's a good chance this will become public, and the movie cannot stand the publicity. I would like to keep this quiet, and how do I put this? The police have to follow certain procedures. I want someone who works for me, who isn't bothered by such procedures. I want results, Solomon.
I got you, Mr. Price. You want results, and you want those results on the QT. If that's the case, then I'm certainly your man. There's just the matter of my fee.
Yes, of course. I will pay any sum to get this matter settled. What is your price?
I'm going to need $100 a day, plus expenses.
$100? That is a king's ransom.
That may be so, but I'm going to have to put all my other clients on the side and give this my complete attention. And let's not forget, I'm putting my life on the line with a fancy apron crowd. If they're as dangerous as you think, I could wind up with my neck cut from ear to ear. Danger doesn't come cheap, Mr. Price.
Very well, sir. $100 a day is cheaper than keeping the production on hold. You have a deal.
I thought you'd see it my way, Mr. Price. I'll keep you informed with my progress.
Imagine a time when all men freely exchanged knowledge, ideals, and values without reservation. Imagine a place where men of all countries and creeds met to build one another up while simultaneously tearing down the walls that divide us all. That time is now. That place is the Masonic Round Table. Each week, our five knights of the Masonic Round Table charge headlong into a new discussion of the ideals, values, and challenges facing the Masonic fraternity. Join John, Jason, Juan, Nick, and Robert on their quest for light and truth. Watch the Masonic Round Table every Tuesday night and join our knights in their crusade to make good men great.
King begins his search by checking with several of his usual informants and running down leads, all of which were dead ends. Out of desperation, King's path leads to an ornate building in Manhattan. Above the door, the sign reads, Grand Lodge, New York.
May I help you, sir?
Yes. I want to speak to the Grand Master, please.
Sir, the Grand Master is very busy. He doesn't usually receive visitors, unless it is of an important Masonic business.
It is very important. And he will want to see me unless he wants to be the last Grand Master of New York. My name is Solomon King, and I'm a private eye, and I have some very important information. Information that could cost him a lot of trouble.
Just a moment, sir. I will ask the Grand Master if he will see you.
If he has any sense, he'll see me.
Sir, the Grand Master will see you. Please, follow me.
Good afternoon, sir. My name is Robert Owens. I'm the Grand Master of the State of New York. How can I help you?
Good afternoon, sir. My name is Solomon King, and as I told your secretary, I'm a private investigator. My client is producing a movie about your group, and some very strange things have been going on during the filming. He has hired me to get to the bottom of it.
Sir, I can understand your concern, but I assure you the Grand Lodge of New York does not endorse films of any sort. I cannot understand what brings you here today.
Very simple answer to that, Mr. Owens. The producer of the picture received this letter.
This was obviously written by some deranged mind. Just because it has our emblem next to the signature doesn't mean we are involved.
I might think the same thing if this movie wasn't about William Morgan. Not exactly one of your club's finest moments.
The Morgan affair? Good Lord, sir. That was over 100 years ago. No one alive today had anything involved with that incident. Even then, it was a small group of Masons acting without authorization from any governing body. Morgan wasn't even killed, as the papers then said.
Now wait just a minute. I looked into this, and I couldn't find anything that said for a fact that William Morgan wasn't murdered.
In our archives, we have transcripts of interviews and signed confessions from the kidnappers. They were never published. The confessions say that Morgan was taken by boat to Canada and given an assumed name and money, and told if he were ever to return to the United States, he would be killed. Nothing was ever heard from him again. I can show you the documents if you don't believe me.
Wait a minute. That doesn't even pass the smell test with me, Mr. Owens. If your fraternity had documents to clear yourselves, then why wouldn't you publish them?
I understand your confusion, Mr. King. It was decided by Governor Clinton, the Grand Master at the time, not to publish these papers. Clinton said, at the time, no one would have believed them, and if the papers would have bothered to publish them, they would have been ridiculed and cast aside. The public had already made up their minds, and our gentle fraternity was guilty in the form of public opinion. Besides that, the damage had already been done. Masonry was doomed to face over a decade of darkness, so the papers were placed in the archives, where they reside to this very day.
Well, now that you've explained it to me, I guess that does make a certain amount of sense. Sometimes it's better to abandon ship instead of bailing water. Thanks for the information, Grandmaster. Before I go, can you tell me one more thing? What was the name they gave Morgan before they cut him loose?
I don't know, but I can find out for you. I don't see where the alias he was given will aid you in your pursuit.
Neither do I. But in my experience, I've learned you can never have too much information.
Have you found yourself lost for time? Do you look at your current timepiece and wonder if there exists a more beautiful chronometer to make you a fashionable member of today's society? The good people at Barclays Watch Company would like to help you. With an array of limited edition timepieces, you can rest assured that you will stand out. Whether it be the famous Dudley Watch, with such models as the Shriner, the Freemason, the Master Mason, or the Past Master Design, or any of their other exquisite designs. Any person who sees it will know that you are a gentleman of taste. That's why Barclay's motto is, Uncommon Timepieces. Get your Barclay's watch today.
King returns to his office. Frustrated, he sits at his desk, coming up with a clue as to what to do next.
Okay, put it through.
Mr. King, have you discovered anything yet?
Nothing yet. I have a couple of leads I'm working on, but nothing solid.
I think you had better come to the movie set. Come quickly. There has been a disturbing development. The star of the picture, Raymond Harris, has been kidnapped. There is also another letter from the Craftsman.
I'm on my way. Sadie, I'm on my way to the movie set. This thing is beginning to heat up fast.
Okay, Saul. Oh yeah, that Grandmaster guy called while you were out. He said he has that name you asked for.
Okay, doll. What was the name?
Thomas Coates.
You're a peach, Sadie. I'll be in touch.
Are you looking drab? Is your style rather unstylish? Are those important undertakings of your life being severely impacted by your attire? Your wardrobe says a lot about who you are. Jazz it up with some articles from Fraternal Tide. The artist, John Paul Gomez, produces some of the finest Masonic pieces currently available. He creates each piece with the utmost quality and thoughtful attention to detail. His all manner of purchasable wares, from his world-famous neckties, t-shirts, timepieces, and an assortment of Masonic collectibles. Do not spring for some cheap imitation. Buy from Fraternal Ties today.
King makes his way quickly to the movie studio. When he arrived, most of the cast and crew were milling about the hallway near the dressing room of the kidnapped star, Raymond Harris. Men were discussing the incident while women were sobbing. Price was standing outside the door.
Studio security guards were keeping people out of the dressing room.
Thank goodness you're here, King.
I got here as quickly as I could, Mr. Price. So tell me, what's happened here?
We were all on the set preparing to film the next scene. Everyone was here except for Harris. We kept waiting for him, and everyone was getting upset. Time is money, you know. I sent the script girl to his dressing room to see what in the world was keeping him. She said she knocked on his door, and after knocking a few times, she got worried and entered his room. He was gone. This note was laying on his makeup table.
Huh. Now try to finish your evil movie without your star. If you don't shelve this picture, your star will have his throat cut from ear to ear, and his tongue torn out from its roots. This is your last warning. I will be reading the trades, waiting for the announcement. Signed, The Craftsman. Picture shelved. Trades? I don't understand.
Those are movie industry terms. It means until he reads in the Variety newspaper that the movie has been discontinued. They will continue to hold Harris, or worse yet, kill him.
One thing is for certain. These kidnappers aren't your average Joes. Most folks don't know movie industry slang. In my opinion, this has to be an inside job. I'm going to need to talk to your cast and crew to find out what they know. Don't let anybody leave until I talk to them.
I understand. I will set this up right away. I'm sorry you will have to speak to the screenwriter at another time. He received an urgent telegram this morning from his family in Canada. Apparently someone has taken ill there.
Canada? I thought everyone who worked on movies was from Hollywood.
Usually. That is the case, but this script was so different from anything else we had seen. Everything seemed so real and true to life. The studio gave the script the green light. Since shooting began, things started to take a turn for the worst. Studio executives decided to change parts. Many of the studio heads are Freemasons. They wanted changes made. I think it came a little too close to home for them, and they didn't want to get in trouble with their buddies. This really angered the screenplay writer, and he let people know he wasn't pleased. To be honest, I think the telegram was fabricated. I think he went home because he was disgusted with his work being changed.
Yeah, I've heard those creative types are temperamental. What's his name? I'll have somebody track him down so we can talk to him.
Certainly. His name is Morgan Coots.
That is an axiom that states, the pen is mightier than the sword. If that is the case, then arm yourself with the very best. Choose a hand-turned Masonic pen from Fellow Crafted and its craftsman, Brian Evichin. Each Fellow Crafted pen is handmade with intricate craftsmanship from the finest wood and materials from around the globe. Custom orders are easily accommodated. Buy a hand-turned Masonic pen from Fellow Crafted, made by a brother for brothers to aid in their search for light.
King asked Price for Coots' address and talked his landlady into allowing him to enter the man's apartment. The sweet talking and a soft look paid off, and the lady unlocked Coots' door.
What a crummy room. I thought where I lived was a glorified shoebox. Looks like he picked it clean before he left. Here's a newspaper. The Daily Messenger from Canandaigua, New York. This is only a few days old. Classified ads, huh? Canandaigua. Why does that sound familiar? I need to make a call.
A random item to the trained eye can bring a wealth of information. King's observation led him to make a call. A call to a very unlikely source.
Yes, Grandmaster. I believe that is the case. Yes, sir. Well, if you can do that one thing I ask, I think I can break this thing wide open. Yes, sir. I will keep you informed. I'm sorry, but I need to get to the train station. Scully, I'm glad to see you. Do you know who worked here at the train station last night?
Yes, all me. That guy called in sick and I'm working a double. I'm beat. My dogs are barking.
Now pay close attention, Scully. A guy's life is hanging here. Look at this picture and see if you remember this guy.
I sure do. Him and a buddy got on a train last night. I had to help him get his buddy onto the train. He had a snoop full. We put him into a compartment so he could sleep it off. The guy was something else. One of those nose in the air types. You know the type.
You don't happen to remember which train you put them on, do you?
Are you kidding? I carried his buddy halfway across the station and not so much as a two-bit tip. Yeah, New York Central heading to Buffalo.
Thanks, Scully. That helped a lot. Here, maybe this fin will make up the tip he stiffed you on.
Are you kidding? If I would have known I would have made $5 out of it, I would have put the guy in a seat a little nicer. Thanks, Saul.
If King's hunch was right, he should have this case all wrapped up into a pretty little package very soon. But first, King had to call the Grand Master once again.
Are you sure? Okay. Listen, tell them not to do anything until I get there. I want you to ask one of them to meet me. I'm at the train station right now, but I'm heading that way. I have one more call to make, and then I'm on my way.
King made one more call and boarded a train heading west. The trip gave King several hours to think and prepare for what was in front of him. As the train pulled into the station, King looked for the man on the platform sent to help him.
Mr. Yates?
Yes, that is me. You must be Mr. King. Welcome to Canandaigua.
Thank you. I noticed the Masonic pin on your lapel, and I figured you were the man I was looking for.
Indeed it is me. As the Grand Master asked, I have several of my brothers watching the house you took this off to. From what I'm told, they're still inside. They haven't left. I also called the sheriff like you asked. He's a member of our lodge. I am supposed to take you to him now. Do you have a grip?
Nah. I'm not going to be here long. I'm traveling light. Let's go.
I'm having Sheriff Rhodes meet us a block from the house we're watching. I thought that way we could come up with a plan before we go in.
Good idea, Mac. Sounds like you have experience at this.
Nah, I just read a lot of dime detective novels. I always wanted to be a private eye.
Well, today, brother, you might just get your chance. That's Rhodes over there in that black sedan. He's coming this way.
You must be the big city private dick who's going to show us country folk how to play cop.
Listen, Rhodes, I'm not here to hold your hand or tell you how to handle your affairs. All I know is there's some nut in that house over there who's threatening to kill a man who hasn't done one thing wrong. I want to free that man and get the nut locked up. Now, if your pride is healed, why don't we figure out how we're going to work this thing out?
Dear brother, how many times have you visited a lodge, only to find that you must wear an apron made of the thinnest paper or of the most rough-hewn cotton imaginable? Friend, I am pleased to tell you about a product of impeccable quality. The fine craftsman of the winding stairs has created an exquisite collection of genuine lambskin aprons that can only be described as a real McCoy. Handcrafted in the good old United States of America, out of high-quality lambskin. Now when you enter the lodge, you can look spiffy and feel swell, because you and your apron will be on the level. Except no imitations. Buy a winding stairs apron today.
King and a small posse of policemen and Freemasons quietly surround the small rented house at the edge of town. The pair stand on either side of the front door while the others cover the sides and the back door. King looks through the window and sees Harris sitting on a hard chair in the center of the front room. His eyes are blindfolded and his head is down, like he's sleeping. His bound hands are tied behind his back. King and Rhodes look at each other, and with a nod, King kicks in the front door.
All right, Coots. The jig is up. Drop that knife.
Don't move, copper, or I will cut his throat, just like you Masons threatened to do to my grandfather.
I don't know what's wrong with you. Maybe you've got a screw loose or something. No one here is threatening anyone in your family. Now let go of Harris and put the knife down.
You would like that, wouldn't you? I put this knife down and you shoot me down like a dog. My grandfather warned me about you guys. You Masons will kill me and bury me in a shallow grave.
I don't know what your beef is with the Masons, and I really don't care. I'm not one of them. All I care about is making sure Harris gets out of there with his head on his shoulders. Now let Harris go, and we'll talk about the rest of this.
There's nothing to talk about! For many years, my grandfather told us about how he was treated here in New York. He was hunted down like a dog by the Freemasons. He was accused of terrible things, jailed and kidnapped. He barely escaped with his life. I wrote a brilliant screenplay about the horrible deeds those Masons did, and it was rewritten. Rewritten to make my grandfather look like a kook and a thief. If I can't expose these men for what they are, then I will make sure no one sees this dreadful thing. If I have to kill Harris to see to it, then that is what I will...
Good work, Yates. Cuff him. Paddy Wagon just showed up. You guys put him in back. It's off to Sing Sing with you, coots. Will somebody please untie Harris?
Well, I told you. I guess that about does it. I've got a feeling Coots is going to wind up in a rubber room somewhere.
That's for the court to decide. I'm just glad everything worked out okay.
Yeah, me too. One thing bothers me, though. Coots was so worried about what he thought the Masons did to his grandfather over 100 years ago, he almost did the exact same thing to an innocent man tonight.
I think Coots has problems upstairs. You know, like his elevator don't go all the way to the top? He missed the big picture. It might be true what they did to his granddaddy, but it was a very small group of Masons. They took it upon themselves to right a wrong that they perceived. In doing so, they missed one of the first things you're taught as a Mason, to subdue your passions. Most Masons are honest, hard-working men who try to help others while they help themselves become better. It's a shame he couldn't see through his hatred to recognize that.
Yeah, I'm beginning to see that. Every one of you guys I've met has been really swell. I just wish I had what it takes. I might even consider becoming one.
From what I've seen today, you've got what it takes. Maybe one day you'll join us. You know, start your own journey on becoming a better man. I think what we should do now is go down to the diner and have a nice plate of ham and eggs and a strong cup of coffee before I put you back on the train. Maybe I can tell you more about Masonry. That is, if you want to hear more about it. We can even take our Junior G-Man Rhodes with us, too.
Ham and eggs would sure hit the spot, and maybe a cup of Joe. And I would like to hear more about it if you can tell me the secrets without putting me on a boat to Canada.
Well, come on then. I'm hungry.
Thank you for listening to Masonic Radio Theater, brought to you by the Midnight Freemasons. We hope you enjoyed our program. It is our hope that you will share this program with your friends and brothers around the world. Please visit our Facebook page at themidnightfreemasons.org for more information about future episodes. Tune in again next time for Masonic Radio Theater.
All right, that was it. I hope you guys really enjoyed it. It was a pleasure to be able to do all of the things we did and to work with everybody that we did. I just have to thank everybody who helped out at the Midnight Freemasons, as well as everybody who helped out over at the Masonic Roundtable. We had a great time doing it, and again, you can look forward to some new episodes that are coming out. They take a while to make, so this is probably not going to be, in fact, I guarantee it's not going to be a weekly effort. It's probably going to be more like a once a month kind of thing. But the hope is that you enjoy it and that you get a little bit of light out of it while being entertained as well. It is available on iTunes as well. It is its own show. I just put the first whole episode within this show to help promote it out there a little bit. So again, if you visit www.masonicradiotheater.com, you'll find the links there to the iTunes as well. And you can search Masonic Radio Theater in iTunes and it should pop up just fine. There is no app for this show. This is just a very large side project right now. So I hope you guys all enjoyed it. And that's it for this week. So check us out on Facebook. Find us on Twitter at WhenceKMU. Check us out on Google Plus at the email address WCYpodcast@gmail.com. If I could backtrack very quickly, I did want to say if you guys are interested and you like the old ads that we ran, those ads are real ads. So they're not made-up companies, of course. If you would like to be advertised on that program, please send us an email at advertise@masonicradiotheater.com, and we can talk about what we can do for you. So again, check out the Midnight Freemasons, www.midnightfreemasons.org, and please check out the Masonic Roundtable at themasonicroundtable.com. Stay on the level, everybody. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.